The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Yes, it is. Welcome into it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. No, it's not Todd Starnes. He is out and about. His pre-book tour is officially launched all over the nation. We'll talk about that throughout the program today, but welcome into it. It is still the Todd Starnes radio program. My name is Andy Hoosier, filling in for him today, and what a great honor it is to be back on the airwaves with the Todd Starnes family. So great to have you with us here as we move the Liberty University studios out to Wichita, Kansas, to my flagship radio station out here, where we love having him on our airwaves as he is here and in so many places all over the nation. What a show we have lined up today, too. We got a lot to talk about. A lot of things going on in D.C., if you haven't heard. Don't know if you're aware or not, but there's a lot of things going on right now in the world between election time and Washington, D.C.'s congressional issues and beyond. So we'll get to all of it and more on the program, which means you can also jump on and chat with us as well at 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926. You can jump in here with me at the Liberty University studios. Coming up, bottom of the hour, we have Jason Jones on the program. He is author of the book, The Great Campaign Against the Great Reset. And he's got an interesting perspective on the whole Ukraine-Russia issue, where he's been over there multiple times in Ukraine for humanitarian relief and is actually advocating from a Christian conservative standpoint on why we need to be supporting Ukraine. I am skeptical, as I'm sure many of you are as well, because while I understand the humanitarian issue, I don't know how much more money I really want to send over to Ukraine, or at least without any type of strict stipulations on where that money's going and what we're using it for. So we'll chat with Jason Jones about that coming up at the bottom of the hour, and looking forward to that conversation. Outside of that, did you know, I don't know if you're aware or not, but we're actually in a lot of these states right now for the Todd Starnes program. It is Super Tuesday 2.0, essentially. A lot of states back going to the polling places today to choose your presidential preference primary. And while we almost kind of have a default presumptive nominee for both sides, today could be the day, which Democrats are going to lose their minds on. So be prepared for that, because they're not happy. But Donald Trump could lock in the nomination today by pushing over the threshold to get that whatever he needs, the 1,200 and some odd delegates for the presidential preference primary, where the states are today, including Georgia, Hawaii, Mississippi, and the state of Washington holding their nominating contest. Now, Donald Trump sitting at 1,078 delegates, needing 1,215, which means he's roughly 137 delegates short. And how many delegates are up for grabs today? 161. And with no one else in the field, essentially, because everyone else has suspended their campaign, that means he is more than likely going to break that threshold. Now, there still could be some holdouts, and maybe Nikki Haley could scratch out one or two left because people are still so adamant to vote against Donald Trump. But this is the test. Today is the test, and I want to encourage you, if you live in Georgia, which I know Todd gets a lot of calls from Georgia and all these other great states, I want to hear from you. What is the feel on the streets today going into the voting booth? What is the feel today? Are there still the holdouts in the Republican Party, or is there beginning to see a mending, a unity, and a coming together of the Republican Party? Because if that happens, then I applaud you, first off, and pat you on the back, because I haven't seen that in a long time. But now that we have a different RNC chair, a different RNC co-chair with, Michael Whatley and Laura Trump, the daughter-in-law of Donald Trump, now taking over the co-chair, and we'll talk about them in a little bit later throughout the program, that now that we have a Republican Party that is more in unison and saying, hey, let's figure out a way to back Donald Trump, we could actually have some unison. We could actually have a united Republican Party, which is far and few between. So we'll cover all that. But Georgia and Mississippi, was it Mississippi? Yeah, Mississippi and Washington and Hawaii all having their primaries today. Super Tuesday 2.0 could be the breaking point where Donald Trump breaks that threshold with the delegates and where Joe Biden obviously will probably break that threshold as well. But the Democrats finding ways to remove Donald Trump off that ballot when he could be that nominee after today. Ooh, scary stuff. So happy Super Tuesday 2.0, as I like to call it here. 901-260-5926. Will he break that? And if he does, when is he going to announce his daggone vice presidential pick? I'm still waiting on that one. We'll cover that throughout the program. I want to talk about Washington, D.C. for just a moment, though, because there is a lot going on. We will have some other guests on from Washington later on, I believe in hour number three. We will have Congressman Tom Tiffany from the 7th District of Wisconsin, part of the House Judiciary Committee, talking about the cognitive ability of Joe Biden in the hearing that's going on right now, essentially, with the report that showed that Joe Biden not going to be persecuted or prosecuted because he doesn't have the cognitive ability to remember the details. And if that's the case, then why in the world is he still sitting as the active president of the United States? So that's coming up in hour number three. But one of the other big issues, and I have to admit, I'm probably on a little bit different page than most conservatives on this issue to a degree. And I want to explain myself for a moment and see if maybe this makes sense for just a moment. The TikTok ban. Oh, yes, the social media argument today, where apparently the House representatives are set to vote on a bill tomorrow after it passed out of committee 50-0, a bipartisan movement to make some demands to TikTok and say either ByteDance sell it to a different company or they ban TikTok across the nation is really the ultimatum that they're giving to the company. Now, the company has come out with some really strong, bold statements saying, yeah, that's not going to happen. We have no interest in actually selling the platform. It's not going to happen. But we're not giving information to China in the CCP. Don't worry. That's really not happening, which I don't know if you actually trust or believe that or not, but that's what they're trying to tell us. And while I understand there is concern with China, because obviously there is, there's a major concern for the nation of China gathering our information. They're trying to buy up land. Thank God we have states right now at the statewide and local levels that are trying to ban the purchasing of land from foreign entities in the states. I know where I'm at here in the state of Kansas, we're trying it. Oklahoma's been working on it. Other states are working on the same piece of the legislation saying that foreign entities, especially Chinese businesses and governmental entities, are not allowed to purchase U.S. land, agricultural land, land near military bases. That's a major concern. We have the balloons that tried to fly over the country just a few months ago, and then another one, supposedly, that we didn't know a whole lot of information on just a month or so ago, a couple weeks ago, that we're not handling the Chinese threat seriously. And I understand all of this conversation that they're having. And in fact, when TikTok told the young generation, which is predominantly the ones that use TikTok, to call their elected officials, according to some of the Republicans especially, they say that only even emboldened them more to push for this ban and to try and change TikTok from being allowed in the U.S. or to move the servers and have ByteDance, the parent company of TikTok, actually sell the platform to somebody else and move the servers here to the United States, where the government of China is not able to access information. I understand all of it. Here's my concern. Are we, and this could be very controversial, so bear with me and let me complete my thought here for a second, please. Are we just a little bit hypocritical, especially as Republican conservatives? Are we just a little bit hypocritical in the pushing for the complete ban of TikTok? Now, here, and you can find me on TikTok at Hoosier Reason. I have a TikTok account, and I'm not active. I don't like post videos a whole lot, but I scroll through it, and I watch a lot of TikTok videos. And while we're concerned about quote-unquote misinformation, we're concerned about fake news, we're concerned about the content, we're concerned about what the data that they're collecting, while I'm concerned about all of that stuff, for just a moment, can we turn and look at ourselves in the mirror? And when we look at, I don't know, Google, which is the parent company of YouTube, by the way, now, with Google owning YouTube, and Facebook, and Instagram, all of these different social media sites right now in the U.S., that shadow ban conservatives, that only give us content they want us to get. Now, is the Chinese government doing the same thing? Probably. But why is it okay for Facebook to do this And for YouTube to do that, I have a YouTube account that I have not been able to use for my radio program for years now, because every time I put something up there, they block me and say it's quote unquote misinformation. And I always bounce it like two strikes. They haven't deleted my account yet, but they sure try to. But they say that I have quote unquote misinformation. I have medical misinformation when I question the COVID-19 vaccines. Even to today, they still try to ban me on there. Are we okay with that? I mean, right now, the major platforms on social media are either Facebook and Instagram, which are owned by Meta, or TikTok or Twitter, which obviously is owned by Elon Musk. And that one's relatively better, but still having some issues. We have our other ones. We have Donald Trump's Truth Social, which is good. And I'm on that one as well. But obviously, it's not as wide range. That's kind of a mainstream social media site. We have Rumble, which is great. Although, can I just make my little complaint here that please stop interrupting every 15 to 20 seconds with an ad. I love you, Rumble, but come on, man. Like, let me watch at least 30 seconds of my content without losing track of what I was doing and paying attention to because an ad ends up popping up. Please fix that one, please. And I'll be much happier with Rumble, which I have an account on as well. But outside of that, the major platforms, Facebook and Instagram, Twitter and YouTube, which, by the way, Instagram and YouTube are now making short videos trying to mimic what TikTok is doing. But TikTok's still dominating the younger generation, with more than half of the population under 30 having a TikTok account. That's huge. Half of the country has a TikTok account. It's a massive platform. And are we really okay with just banning it while allowing our own government to do the same thing? Just to put it into perspective for you, and this is a conversation that we haven't had, I don't think, in a very long time. We haven't talked about metadata. Remember that name? Metadata. That was a conversation that we had during post at 9/11 when George Bush passed the Patriot Act. The collection of metadata. You still have your smartphone. They're collecting all your text messages, all your conversations, your web browsing that you do. You have a GPS in your phone. You can actually Google and look at your GPS tracking and see exactly where you go on a daily basis. The government has all of that information for you. If you have a new smart car or an electric vehicle, they know exactly where you're at because that has a GPS tracker in it. States are now looking at transitioning from a gas tax to a mileage tax because of so many people getting electric vehicles and gas efficient cars that they're not getting as much tax revenue for the highway funds. So now they want to put a private tracker in your car to exactly how far you've driven. They know exactly where you're at, what conversations that you've had, what you've looked at on the internet, what text messages that you've actually sent. They know all of this information, our own government that's collecting this data. And by the way, this is the same government where Joe Biden has told us that we're the domestic terrorists in the nation, that the MAGA movement, that the conservatives, that the Republicans are the domestic terrorists, the most extreme, violent, horrible political organization in the history of the United States. That's what Joe Biden's called us. He's weaponized the FBI against us. He's weaponized the CIA against us. He's weaponized the IRS against us and all of the corporations and businesses that have conservative or Christian values to them, trying to uphold traditional messages in the country. And yet, we're okay with them collecting all this data on us, and we want to get rid of TikTok in Chinese. And again, I get it. I understand it. But why aren't we irate about all the other ones as well? Why aren't we irate about all the other potential platforms that could be collecting our data or censoring? If we're worried about content on what the content looks like, the content control, well, they're only feeding you misinformation. Really? And Facebook's okay with that? We're okay with Facebook doing that as well? We're okay with YouTube doing that as well? Because we're not allowed to post stuff on there without it getting censored or blocked. We're not allowed to put stuff on there without getting shadow banned. And we're okay there, but we're concerned about China giving us misinformation. I'm sensing that this is nothing more than a virtue signaling issue that we're trying to use for the election. And I don't think it's going to work. Agree or disagree? Would love to hear from you. 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926. Agree or disagree with me? Is TikTok really the threat that we need to be concerned about with content, with data collection, and with a social media site that's watching and monitoring everything that you do? Is it just them, or do we need to be concerned about all of these? And if we are concerned about them, why aren't we blocking all these other ones as well? Can we just get rid of social media altogether? That'd be super awesome. There is a company, by the way, multiple companies that are offering with this bill that's going out of the House of Representatives. They're offering to purchase TikTok, or at least a portion of it, and move the servers here to the United States so that China doesn't have access to it. And I don't know if it's going to go through or not, but we've heard Rumble apparently make an offer, say that they're willing to actually purchase TikTok, along with Kevin O'Leary, the guy from Shark Tank, where he was on Fox News just yesterday talking about this very issue.
Not going to get banned because I'm going to buy it. Somebody's going to buy it. It won't be Meta, and it won't be Google, because the regulator will stop that. A syndicate will be formed. I would like to be involved, obviously. Well, what I would do is form a bipartisan committee, an advisory committee for 18 months, go to them, and I'd say to them, how much will you let me keep of the Chinese? In other words, can we offer them 20% of NewCo? And then everything else, hire an American CEO, American board, move the servers here to the United States, rewrite the code so we shut out the Chinese back doors, because that's what everybody wants. But you can leave a taste for the Chinese, and we'll put a mandate in place. They get to keep 20%. That way, you run a process. This is worth billions. It's one of the most successful advertising platforms in social media today. All my companies use it. I'll buy it. I can put a syndicate together of debt and equity as long as I can get the blessing of the House, because nobody wants to fund this thing if they think they're going to be bought politically. But if we make it all American, including the servers, I can get this deal done. I want to buy it.
That audio from Fox News. Again, Kevin O'Leary, if you don't know who that is, he's one of the business guys that invests in stuff from Shark Tank. Another guy offering to buy TikTok. Is that going to change it? Now, TikTok has said that they're absolutely no way under any interest in wanting to sell it. The company of ByteDance, meaning that is. And while they continue to reiterate that they're not passing off their information to the Chinese government at all with personal data and the data that they're collecting with the users of TikTok. Good idea, bad idea. Do we need to ban it? And are we just a little bit on the hypocritical side, or at least virtue signaling, when we're concerned about them, but not concerned about our own government calling us domestic terrorists here in the nation? 901-260-5926. We'll continue this conversation right around the corner. Andy Hoosier filling in for the great Todd Starnes and the Todd Starnes radio program. Stay right here.
Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. That's legacypminvestments.com. Or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today.
Welcome back into it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in for Todd Starnes today. He is out and about, I believe, in Washington, D.C. today as he continues on with his book tour, Twilight's Last Gleaming. An amazing book as well. I can't wait. He's actually going to be coming to Wichita here in about a month or so as well to as part of his book tour. More tours on the way. I'm sure he'll be announcing some of those. So get set. He'll be coming to a town near you for sure. 901-260-5926. I want to hear a lot from you right now. We have Super Tuesday. If you are in one of these states with a primary today, what are your thoughts and what are the thoughts on the street for sure? Also, your thoughts on this TikTok ban. Is it a good idea, bad idea? And are we really concerned about privacy with China when our government's doing the same thing for us? Let's go to the phones here, shall we? Let's go to Paul in Georgia on WDUN. Paul, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I live in North Georgia, and we are, every election, we go 80% for the Republican candidate. And I think that's consistent throughout all of North Georgia. However, I have an issue with one of our conservative talk show hosts here that they have not gotten on the train for Trump yet, and at this very moment, they're not sure Trump will be the nominee, and they won't ascribe to his policies, and quite often they denigrate him on the air, and it does. it just doesn't sit well with me because I'm on the board. I'm on board. Everybody I know is on board, but this person is
Yeah, that's interesting. It's well, I mean, if they're in Georgia and they're not for Trump, I mean, by the end of today, we could see him as the nominee with having enough delegates. So if he's not going to be, then they've got a couple hours for that to change, and we'll see what happens. Paul, I appreciate that. Keep up that fight, and hopefully we can see a major turnout. Georgia's going to be a big one. Obviously, having some issues in the 2020 election, we need Georgia to turn out strong and show their strength. Even though Donald Trump's the presumptive, this is a big race today. So you guys show up in the great state of Georgia.
Our God-given freedoms are facing unrelenting attacks. It's a battle for truth, and the only way we win is if we stand together. Hi, I'm Todd Stearns, and thankfully, Alliance Defending Freedom has been defending our rights for 30 years and winning. Right now, they're involved in two critical cases before the Supreme Court. They're suing the FDA for endangering the health and safety of women and girls. And in the second case, they're assisting the state of Idaho to defend its law protecting the lives of women and their unborn children against the Biden administration's attempt to override the law and force doctors to perform abortions. And they need your help. With your best gift, you courageously join ADF in fighting critical Supreme Court cases against government lawlessness and help defend our cherished freedoms. So call 855-417-6556 right now or go to ToddStearns.com and click on the ADF banner. With your help, I've already pledged to raise $17,000 by March 31st for ADF. Go to ToddStearns.com or call 855-417-6556 to make your best offer right now. I know with your help, we can beat that goal and help make a generational difference for freedom.
To it. It is the Todd Stearns radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in. So great to have you along for the ride today for a Super Tuesday 2.0. What do the elections look like in your neck of the woods? We'd love to hear from you today at 901-260-5926. I want to tell you about our friends over at Patriot Mobile. They've been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're really the only ones, truly. Believe me, Glenn and the team have been great supporters of this program, which is why we're proud to partner with them as well. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, meaning you get the same great coverage that you've been accustomed to, and you don't get to fund the left side of the aisle. I know, kind of a win-win situation right there, isn't it? When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, and the sanctity of life, along with the Second Amendment, our military, veterans, first responder heroes, and so much more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching very easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade, as they sell phones as well. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd, or you can call 972-PATRIOT. When you do, you get free activation today with the offer code using Todd. Join me today and make the switch. PatriotMobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. Great partners with us here on the Todd Stearns radio program. All right, let's get into our first guest of the day, shall we, as we go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotlines. As we talk about the latest out of Ukraine and Russia, coincidentally, we haven't heard much from Washington, D.C. on a new funding bill. If you remember, just kind of a quick refresh, that they tried to tie it into an immigration bill. The immigration bill fell through a couple weeks ago. Then they tried to put it up on their own. Republicans said, yeah, no, we're still sticking to the fact that if we're going to help them fix their borders, we kind of need to fix our borders as well. And so far then, we haven't heard much of a conversation. They are passing appropriation bills right now. The first round of six appropriation bills passed last week, the second round being voted on throughout the throughout Congress this week as well. How much of that will be included with Ukrainian and Israeli funding? Only time will tell. But where should we be on this issue as we continue to see the bickering amongst those in Washington, D.C.? To talk about some of that and more, he's the author of the book, The Great Campaign Against the Great Reset. Happy to have on the show here Mr. Jason Jones. Jason, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Andy. Thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah, you bet. Excited to have you on here with the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's talk about where we're at right now, because we haven't heard much news. We haven't heard much conversation about the funding, but we also haven't heard much out of Ukraine coming out either than they're beginning to lose ground. They're beginning to lose support and they're desperate. Is that true? Are we really seeing Russia begin to make some ground in this ongoing conflict?
Yeah, we are. In fact, just yesterday, my organization, the Vulnerable People Project, has teams on the ground in Ukraine, and I've been to Ukraine several times since the invasion. A report from one of my team members yesterday was that morale is low, that Russia's beginning to take ground, and the tide is beginning to turn. Of course, in the first weeks after the invasion, there was an opportunity for a ceasefire, and the West, you know, lured Ukraine into deeper and deeper waters in this billions of dollar grift, really at the expense of the people of Ukraine. So now we're in a situation where it appears that the war is lost. And General Milley said, if you remember, just 2 months after the war began, when he was asked, do you really think Ukraine can win? And General Milley's response was, we don't need Ukraine to win. What we need is a quagmire. And I think that's, in my new book, The Great Campaign Against the Great Reset, it was in Ukraine where I really saw how brutal and vicious and anti-human our ruling elite are. Because you can go to hospitals in Ukraine, and I visited a hospital that was an old Soviet prison. It was a huge old Soviet prison. And in every room were several boys missing arms, missing legs. And, you know, this is the cost of the grift.
Yeah. It is concerning. If they're losing ground and if it's potentially lost right now, let's just say that we end up spending some money to send more resources over to Ukraine. Would that help at the time? And I guess so many conservatives have this concern about if we need to, you know, make America first. We need to make that priority. And I understand it. And I've supported that as well. I know other nations and over in Europe have been trying to support Ukraine at the same time. Are we the only one sending support, and why is our funding and our support so vital to this success to try and keep Vladimir Putin at bay?
No, I mean, no, that's not true. And I get really frustrated with a lot of the commentary on the right regarding Ukraine, because it really plays into the deep state's campaign. We really should have been working to advance the interests of the people of Ukraine. If they could have won the war, win the war. If they can't win the war, a ceasefire and get the best deal possible for the people of Ukraine. But what General Milley made very clear is, and this is what many conservatives feel instinctively, and that's why they're repulsed by the whole thing, is that this was never about the people of Ukraine. This was about advancing the perceived interests of Germany, the other NATO countries, and the United States at the expense of the people of Ukraine. And so they're frustrated by that. And I completely understand that frustration. But what they need to understand is that when they say, well, we're sending all of this money to Ukraine, we're not sending money to Ukraine. We're sending weapons to Ukraine, paid for with our money, to be put into the hands of young Ukrainian boys who are going to die. And this idea that other countries aren't engaged, I mean, I think number two in casualties in this war have been Poland. You know, young men are many, many, many companies of young men from Poland have gone and fought and died in Ukraine to defend Ukraine from Russian aggression. So there's a lot of misinformation. I understand the frustration from the right, but one thing that they also need to understand is that when Russia takes ground, the first thing they do is they close the evangelical churches. And this is a story that has not been told. In occupied Ukraine, every evangelical church has been closed. In occupied Ukraine, most of the Catholic churches have been closed. And in occupied Ukraine, if you're an Orthodox church unaligned with Moscow, the priests have been tortured and killed. So there's a lot at stake, and sadly, it just as we saw in Afghanistan, the powers of the world are not actually interested in the plight of the people of Ukraine, but they're advancing their own interests.
Yeah, it is concerning. Now, you said that you've obviously been over there working on humanitarian issues, seeing some of the devastation that's going on. Talk about some of the stuff you mentioned, some of the hospitals, but what else have you seen over there? And with I was not aware that churches were being closed, which is a major cause for concern, because Vladimir Putin says that he's religious and that he's Christian and they have all these great churches in Russia, but they're closing them down in Ukraine. That's kind of fascinating.
Yeah, and Ukraine has more Orthodox churches than Russia. Ukraine is the most conservative Christian country of the former Soviet republics. It has the largest pro-life movement in Europe. In fact, it was a great tragedy. When I spoke in June in Ukraine at a conference, there was a young man. He had been the leader of the pro-life movement in Western Ukraine. He'd been actually out of Ukraine going to college, but as soon as the invasion happened, he returned home, became a special forces officer, spoke at a pro-life, pro-family event with me in Kyiv in June, and 11 days later, he died on the front. So what we're seeing is, you know, Ukraine's losing a generation. And, you know, I'm hoping with this presidential election year coming up, we're going to have a real serious discussion on what's been happening in Ukraine. Because like you said, the people in the United States are not seeing the true story. We're not seeing the cost of this war. No. We're not seeing the real human cost of this war. We're not seeing the cost to the people of Ukraine. And, but again, I wrote this book because with my work on the front lines of these wars for the past 20 years, I was in Iraq with the rise of ISIS. I've been in Afghanistan for the past 2 years, serving the widows and orphans of our Afghan allies who were killed in action and evacuating our former allies who were abandoned by the Biden administration. I've been able to see up close and personal the brutality of the deep state and their thoughtlessness to the human cost of their policies. But no place can this be better seen than in Ukraine. And tragically, I think it's going to become very clear to everyone the real human cost of this war for the past 2 years, over two years.
Yeah, it's a cause for concern. We're talking with Jason Jones. He's author of the book, The Great Campaign Against the Great Reset. What's your thoughts on the interview that Tucker Carlson was able to do with the sit down with Vladimir Putin? When he did this, it was surprisingly near 2 hours long and talked about this entire history, which I found kind of odd, but kind of fascinating at the same time, about the history of the whole region and how they came to be and how they were fine. And really, it came down to the ultimate point that he said that he wanted nothing more than the couple regions that were near the border of Russia, that he wanted to fight Nazism because apparently the Ukrainians were upholding Nazism and fascism in the nation, and that he wanted to keep a border between NATO. What's your take on all that?
Yeah, no, well, definitely. I mean, his point to NATO ever encroaching east had some weight to it. His history lesson was quite absurd. I mean, anyone from Ukraine or from Russia would have laughed at his history lesson. I want to say this. I'm glad that Tucker Carlson interviewed Putin. It's the real tragedy is this hasn't been the 100th interview with Putin by our media. It's quite striking. It was such a big deal because this hadn't been done, which is striking, and it tells you where we are. But there was a lot of foolishness. You know, his history lesson was a myth. And in fact, it was a myth in inverse because Russia really came out of Ukraine. But he left out some very important things. For example, he left out the Holodomor. When talking about the history between Russia and Ukraine, and you start in the 600s, I turned to my wife. I said, my ancestors were still in Norway. They hadn't invaded France yet, let alone headed to England. You know, this is where he starts. So, okay, where are my ancestors in the story? But then he leaves out the forced famine in the 1930s where Russia forcibly starves over 6 million Ukrainians. And if you want to understand the relationship between Ukraine and Russia, you really have to start with the Holodomor. In fact, it's important to remember that when Ukraine voted for independence, even those oblasts that Putin wants, those Russian-speaking oblasts to the east, voted overwhelmingly to be a part of Ukraine. And even though they didn't speak Ukrainian, those oblasts to the east also voted at the same time to make Ukrainian their official language. They didn't even speak Ukrainian. And why is that? Because even in those eastern oblasts, there was a real antipathy towards Russia and a fear of Russia. And so Putin's little myth leaves out really one of the most important parts of the story. And then again, talking about religious freedom, Russia has this long history of religious freedom. I mean, that's absurd. We all know the history of the pogroms. And sadly, and it's quite striking, that the brutality towards the evangelical church by Putin is not being covered in the media. I think the mainstream media doesn't care that Christians are being brutalized in occupied Ukraine. And it may not fit the narrative for some on the right, But the real tragedy is that Ukraine is the most Christian country of all the former republics, with the largest, most active pro-family, pro-life movement. I was in Ukraine this past June. In June, the only rainbow flag I saw in Ukraine in June was at the Canadian embassy. And when I crossed the border back into Poland, of course, there were rainbow flags everywhere. I went there from Poland to Germany, rainbow flags everywhere. So this idea that Ukraine is this hard left country, it's the opposite. It's a country of conservative farmers, Christian farmers. Our State Department and Germany are taking the opportunity of the war to try to radically change Ukrainian culture. And it's quite frustrating. So we as conservatives should stand with the Christians in Ukraine against Russian, not only against Russian aggression, but also against the aggression of sort of Western imperialism that's seeking to change their culture.
Yeah, it is a cause for concern. Jason, we got just about a minute left here before we have to let you go. But with election time, Donald Trump, former president, has mentioned that if he gets back in office, that he could end this conflict immediately, that he'd be able to walk in and be able to create the peace negotiations, have the conversation with both Ukraine and with Russia and stop the madness, because he just wants people to stop dying, is what he said during those conversations. Is that true? And do you think that he can actually pull that off? We know that Joe Biden obviously has disastrous foreign policy, regardless of where people stand on Ukraine. But I mean, how we've done every foreign policy bit by Joe Biden has been a disaster. Can Donald Trump get us back on track, do you think?
He did it. I was in Iraq with the rise of ISIS, traveling with the Peshmerga as they were defending the ancient Christian communities and Yazidi communities of Iraq from ISIS genocide. Within 72 days of being sworn in as president, ISIS in Iraq was reduced to one cave in a hole somewhere. And the people of the women were liberated from the ISIS rape camps. The Christians could leave the IDP camps. So, yeah, he did it once, and I believe he will do it again. I have to say I've been working on the front lines with genocide, democide, and war for over 20 years. And the past 3 years, we've done more work. Sadly, we've had to do more work in more places than the previous 20 years combined. So I'm really looking forward to this election. And obviously, it's important at home, but the costs around the world are also their life or death.
We have a lot of work to do for sure. And like you said, battling the misinformation is a ongoing battle that we see on many different levels and many different topics for sure. It's Jason Jones, The Great Campaign Against the Great Reset. You can check it out on Amazon, other places as well. Jason, we appreciate the time very much, my friend. Let's do it again soon.
All right. Thanks, Andy.
Hey, appreciate it very much. Right back here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Stay here.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank my listeners for your continued support. And to thank you, they have an overstock clearance sale right now for the best prices ever when you use the promo code STARNS, and you get free shipping on your entire order. Get 50% off the MyPillow 2.0 and the brand new flannel sheets that just arrived. Won't last long, folks. Get a six-pack towel set for only $29.98 and take advantage of the free shipping on larger items like mattresses and mattress toppers, 100% made in the USA, on sale for as low as $99.99. Everything goes on sale, from the brand new kitchen towels that have the same technology as the bath towels. They absorb dog beds, blankets, couch pillows, so much more. To get the best offers ever, go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506 and get free shipping on your entire order while supplies last.
It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in here. Hey, in the powerful words of King Henry VI, you know, the play by Shakespeare, William Shakespeare famously wrote, "Let's kill all the lawyers." Obviously, though, Shakespeare never meant some of the skilled attorneys that we're supporting here on the program at the Christian nonprofit organization Alliance Defending Freedom. There's an ADF banner on the website you need to go check out at toddstarnes.com, where you can join the campaign right now, where we have another great, compelling story to tell you about a pro-life student named Norvilia at Queens College in New York City, who won the right to have an on-campus club to promote a culture of life. Why we're not allowed to do that would blow my mind in the first place, but these are the times that we live in. Something she accomplished with the help of our friends over at Alliance Defending Freedom, who helped her stand up for what she believes in, despite the pressure from college officials. And they talk a little bit about how her successful campaign began.
Queens College has over 80 clubs, but when Nevilia mentioned the one that she wanted to have, she wasn't approved. After reaching out and still getting no explanation for her denial, Nevilia decided to take it to court.
The wonders of a lawsuit.
Despite the group now having a registered status, Nevilia is still pursuing suit. Representing her is the Alliance Defending Freedom.
We want to allow the campus to become a free speech area, which is what it's supposed to be in the first place.
Yeah, what a wild concept, right? It takes courage to stand up to officials at your college, but it also can take first-class legal counsel. Students don't forfeit their freedom of speech when they walk onto college campuses, nor should they have to. It's not just about a club. It's about government officials telling a young college student that she can't say something that may be important to her that she feels passionate about. That's not what freedom's really about. So what does this matter to you? Because with your help, with people like Nevilia and others, they have the right to fight for their views and be heard on college campus. And you can stand with them all. Your generous gift will make it possible for ADF to keep standing by courageous students all across the country. Your gift right now can help Alliance Defending Freedom fight critical court battles for men and women just like you and for courageous students. Just click the ADF banner at ToddStarnes.com. Go to ToddStarnes.com right now. Click the banner on the top, or you can phone in with your gift at any amount at 855-417-6556. That's 855-417-6556. Do it for us here at the Todd Starnes radio program and for Shakespeare. And thanks for standing with us. Hour number two of Todd Starnes coming up right around the corner. We have a lot more to get to for sure. The latest out of Washington, D.C. and Election Day 2.0. Stay right here.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
What's up? Oh, hey, great to have you along with us for the ride today. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in today. Todd Starnes out and about. He is on his book tour all over. Twilight's Last Gleaming. The book is rocking it, man, and he's in Washington, D.C. today. He's all over the place. He's going from coast to coast, literally, from Washington, D.C., all the way out to the Reagan Ranch in Santa Barbara, California. I have been there one time. It's a beautiful place, and he's going to be headed out there as well, but today out in Washington, D.C., so he's literally going coast to coast with this book, and it's so amazing to watch. We'll talk some more about where he's going to be at here soon, so you can see him soon during his book tour in a place near you. So great to have you, though. Andy Hoosier filling in, broadcasting, moving the Liberty University studios out to Wichita, Kansas, with my flagship radio station, Wichita's Big Talker KQAM in Wichita. So great to have you on the Todd Starnes program. 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926 if you want to jump on the program. So much to cover, so much to talk about. We have the TikTok bill being voted on in the House tomorrow after coming out of committee 50-0. Is that a good thing? We'll talk about some of that later on. Plus, today is also Super Tuesday 2.0, essentially, with numerous states going to the ballot box. If you're in those states, we want to hear from you what the word is and what the feel is on the street as we go into today, potentially locking in the nominations for both candidates. Right now, Donald Trump sitting at, well, just over 1,000 electoral votes. There's 160 plus of them on the table for today, and if he gets all of them, he could be the nominee by the end of the day today. Democrats losing their minds over that, which we do our daily check-in with Joe Biden, by the way. We're concerned. Obviously, he's got some cognitive issues. We've got some troubles. We'll talk about those later on in the program, but we always do our check-in with Joe Biden. You feeling all right, buddy?
I want to be clear. I'm not going nuts.
Just making sure. Making sure. Welcome into it. By the way, the latest report from the federal government has showed that inflation is up again 3.2% compared to this same time last year across the nation. Now, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. Well, Andy, Joe Biden said that Bidenomics actually lowered inflation. That's funny because right now, with it up 3.2%. That's almost about 20% over the past 3 years collectively under the Biden administration. 30% alone on food just by itself. So, yeah, it's going up. And all of those, how's that? What is the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. That's what we're getting right now under the Biden administration and the Treasury Department.
Let's just raise interest rates again.
Because that seems like a grand idea, and we can see how well that's actually worked with another 3% increase on inflation. That's at the same time, by the way, where the Biden administration has officially proposed their federal budget for 2025 of a $7.4 trillion budget. That's over $1 trillion more than what we're spending this year in 2024. That plus all of the debt that we've accrued, our GDP and spending ratio is now sitting at 125% of the GDP. Is that sustainable? I don't know if that is that really. Let's show of hands. Is that okay? Making sure. Let's talk about some of that and more as we go back to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker hotlines and talk with our next guest about what could happen, not only this election with the economy and with some of the issues politically, but also with election time, the anger from the left. Remember, from the conservative side, we are the domestic terrorists. We are the most radical political organization in the history of the United States, according to Joe Biden, who's weaponized the FBI, who's weaponized the CIA, who's weaponized the IRS against us. And we see now that Donald Trump, if he gets in office, will, according to the media, will literally execute his political opponents. That's what they're telling us. That's what they're saying is happening. And we need to be prepared for whatever they may do. To talk about some of this and more, really happy to have on the Todd Starnes radio program with me today on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotlines. He is the founder and CEO of Jase Medical, which you can find online at Jase Medical, J-A-S-E, medical.com. Medical supplies for the prepper. I know that's a dirty word in today's society, but happy to have on here Sean Rowland. Sean, how are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing great, Andy.
Good, good. Excited to have you on here. We're seeing some interesting times right now with the economic segregation we're seeing in the country, with the hatred, just the blatant hatred. If you're wearing a MAGA hat, if you're a Republican, then you're the most evil, horrible human being on the face of the earth. Are we expecting something devastating to potentially happen by election time this year? Could we see a quote-unquote January 6th, so to speak, from the left side of the aisle, do you think?
And I, you know, I sure hope not, but I think there right now we're talking about all these potential disaster scenarios, and we're talking about our disaster scenarios. And then you've got the other side talking about their disaster scenarios. And at some point we're going to meet in the middle and we're going to see what really happens. But it doesn't seem whether, and even if we take politics out of it, just what's been going on lately in the world leads one to believe that the boogeyman word of prepper is, it's just changed. We're living in a different world nowadays. And having been through COVID collectively as a society, it's now just one of those things that just became, it's become a thing that's just prudent to do, which is to be prepared for any one of these potential scenarios that could play out or things that are currently already playing out.
Yeah. I know that this is an ongoing thing and a lot of people have kind of started focusing attention on. I'm a millennial, so I'm part of this, but really over the past year, according to Finder.com, we've seen millennials, Gen Zers, more different generations focusing on spending on quote unquote prepping, preparing for whatever may come, which I know they say that's a dirty word. It's just, I mean, I live in Kansas. I mean, we have tornadoes that happen at any time. And we have tsunamis, we have floods, we have whatever may happen our way. It's not just the doom and gloom zombie apocalypse, although I will say I'm prepared for the zombie apocalypse whenever that may happen as well. But is this a focus, do you think, of more Americans as times get a little rocky right now?
No, that absolutely is. You cited some of those reports that have come out, and it is. We're seeing it crosses political lines. It crosses a lot of different demographic lines. You know, you don't have to be, this isn't something that you have to have a lot of disposable income for. You have to be, you know, even our younger folks, the guys, the kiddos in their 20s are looking at this in a way that they weren't in the past. And so it definitely is at the forefront of everyone's mind. And I'll tell you, in my experience, at Jase, you know, we deal with, all across the United States. We're also up in Canada, but we get communications routinely from other places all over the world. And I'll tell you that everybody is not just something limited to the United States or even North America. Everybody is feeling like something's happening. Things are changing, and they need to get prepared.
Yeah. Is there a pushback, talking about just the medical field itself real quickly, is there a pushback, do you think, from quote-unquote mainstream medical, the pushback from quote-unquote big pharma? Obviously, the battle during COVID and the COVID-19 vaccine, has there been a push to try and get away from some of that and find different alternatives, do you think, in the market and in society right now?
Thankfully, no. And I think the reason is because there's just, how could big pharma or any of these big health institutions, insurance companies, how could they push back when they're, for example, the cyber attack that happened a couple of weeks ago, that just lays bare the fact that we are so unprepared as a country when it comes to securing, having a secure place that we can deliver healthcare. There's so many things out there, so many threats, that for anyone to push back and say, hey, you know, this is conspiracy theory or this is unnecessary, is just that they've got nowhere to stand, which is unfortunate because it just means this is real. But hopefully it's enough of a wake up call for people to see that and realize that. So they're not pushing back, but they're also not doing anything to make, you know, to facilitate people's, whether it's preparation, whether it's, you know, hardening their systems so that we're not victims of these cyber attacks, whether it's increasing our access to healthcare, making things easier with regulations when it comes to telemedicine, when it comes to the pharmaceuticals that we consume here in the United States. They're not necessarily taking any direct action or pushing back. So we're kind of left to our own devices.
Yeah, well, we really are. I mean, like you said, we saw the cyber attack that happened a few weeks ago that shut down a lot of pharmacies the same day for those that were like, hey, where'd my Facebook go? I mean, that was kind of the same day where some of that craziness happened. Sean, we got just a couple minutes left here, and we got to wrap it up. But what is, in your mind, what is the biggest threat that we're facing today? Is it the cyber attacking and potential shutting down for us to be left on our own? Is it an actual invasion? Is it a domestic issue with so many angry people wanting to just overturn the system? Is it what are we dealing with right now, do you think, is probably the biggest threat we have to worry about?
Well, so in my little corner of the world, you know, I'm hyper-focused on this medical preparedness, and we see threats from all different angles. You mentioned a couple of the cyber, whether it's cyber attacks, whether it's actual warfare, geopolitical tensions, whether it's just, you know, you mentioned natural disasters in your corner of the country. We're seeing shortages from a pharmaceutical standpoint coming out of the fact that we are 100% dependent on overseas productions for our medications, you know, China and India, and seeing disruptions in that supply chain routinely. I don't know that I could choose any one of those as this is the biggest one. They all could equally disrupt your life to the degree that you're not able to get your medications, that you're not able to obtain those things that you need on a daily basis for your own health. Any one of them they all represent clear and present dangers. And so that's why we're here. That's where we come in, to try and offer a solution, whether it's any one of those scenarios, that we can empower individuals to have a means to protect themselves and their loved ones. That's why we're here. And we're focused on that medical side of things. We're focused on access to medications more than anything else right now.
Sure. Go check it out. You can find them on the Tweety at Jace Medical and on the website as well. Sean, we're out of time, my friend. Appreciate it very much. Keep up the fight. We'd love to chat again soon.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Andy. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, I appreciate it very much. All right, got to take a break here. Your phone calls and so much more when we come back right around the corner on the Todd Starnes radio program. Stay right here. Welcome back into it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program on a Super Tuesday 2.0. Andy Hoosier filling in for the man himself, Mr. Todd Starnes out in Washington, D.C. Hey, I don't know if you're aware or not, but his book is releasing, and I'm so excited. It's going to be amazing. It has been, I was looking through and seeing just kind of the overview of this book, and it's been endorsed by a lot of individuals. Don't know if you know them or not, but U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn, from Congressman Jim Jordan, from Ralph Reed, the founder and chairman of Faith and Freedom Coalition, Timothy Head, the executive director for Faith and Freedom Coalition as well, and so many others. This book is going to be huge, if you know what I talk about.
And I think we're going to make it big league.
Yeah, and he's already out there talking about it in Washington, D.C. today. He's headed out to the Reagan Ranch as well in Santa Barbara, California. And the book tour begins very soon. I'm excited because being from here in Wichita, Kansas, where I'm flagships, we're going to have him out in April as well. So there's going to be a lot of cool stuff coming up for him all over the country. The book tour and speaking to so many and coming to a town near you to where you can get a copy of the book and you can find more information of it online at toddstarnes.com. Definitely recommend you go and check it out because this is going to be really one of the most important things that you can read going into election year, if you know what I mean. Twilight's Last Gleaming, go and check it out. toddstarnes.com, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? That is the big question. Are you willing to save it? Go check out Todd Starnes' book. So we have Election Day today. One of the ways that you can help save the country, go and actually make your voice heard. We have a few states that are out there, which I find comical because Joe Biden right now, apparently, while they're both really out in Georgia making their campaigns be heard and Joe Biden trying to mumble his way through one speech after another, he is desperate to try and win over a crowd that really is supposed to be already in his back pocket, but they're not. As according to CNN, the Teamsters in Georgia, many of the truck driving company unions and others, have donated a sum of more than $45,000 to the Trump campaign. Oh, my. Now, according to the national polls, it shows that Georgia does have Donald Trump in the lead right now for the general election. That could obviously change from now until November, and we have a long way to go. But Joe Biden is desperate to try and win back over some of the crowds that they would just lump in and assume would be Democrat voters right now. Obviously, he was out on the picket line just, 6 months ago, campaigning with those in the auto union that were trying to fight for higher wages, which they got an astronomical amount, kind of ridiculous how much money they received with that negotiation between the auto unions, the UAW, and those auto industry companies. But that's what they want to do, the Viva la Revolution for those guys. But some of the others, the Teamsters, the other truck driving companies in Georgia, not liking the Biden administration too much, not liking, oh, I don't know, the price of gas, which is on the way up right now, and it's not even summertime. Can you imagine? I don't know what let's see what the national average is right now. What is the national average? It's on the way up, close to $4 again. And it's already just the beginning of March. Can you imagine what it's going to look like in the summertime? And there's no way that Joe Biden's going to be able to artificially bring it down like he did last year. Remember the conversation last year and 2 years ago? Well, we're going to release a million barrels of oil a day so that way we can just relieve the duties of what OPEC's going to be sending us because they're cutting some of their production. We don't want to do it domestically. So we're just going to release some from our oil reserves, a million barrels a day. Not telling people that we actually consume close to 24 million barrels a day on a regular basis. So a million barrels a day is really a drop in the bucket and absolutely nothing. It did nothing but just kind of sort of keep our prices low and drain our oil reserves. Now we're stuck between a rock and a hard place. He can't do that again. The economy is going to go through some really rocky times before the election because they've artificially held it up and inflated it as high as they possibly could for so long. The bubble's going to burst. And the question is, when is the bubble going to burst? Before or after the election? Normally it happens after the election. And in the pipe dream fantasy world that the Democrats and Joe Biden want, he wants the bubble to burst after the election, when Donald Trump gets into office, and then say, oh, look at that. Everybody doesn't like the economy. No one likes the Trump economy. Look, the economy's crashing under Donald Trump when he gets into office. That's their goal. Not realizing, for those that may not understand how the economy works, with Reaganomics especially, that when you invest and you do things, you can keep it a streamline, but eventually it's going to burst. I like using the analogy of if anybody actually works on vehicles. I do it minimally. I know the basics, don't know a whole lot, but you know how you bleed your brakes? And the reason that sometimes your brakes don't work is because there's an air bubble in the brakes. And in order for your brakes to run smoothly, you have to bleed the brakes in order for the bubble to come out. So that way there's no air pockets in the brake lines. So your brakes actually work when you hit the brake pedal and actually stop your vehicle. It's a very complicated thing-ish, but that's the way our economy works. Is every time the government raises interest rates, tries to combat quote-unquote inflation, prints off the money, injects it into the economy like Biden's doing right now with his Investing in America tour, they're creating bubbles in the brake line. And the only way to get rid of those air bubbles is to bleed the brake line, which means we have to go through some rocky times. And he wants it to be done afterwards. I don't know if we're going to be able to maintain that long. So the economy's not looking good for the Biden campaign going into election season. Lots more coming up. Stay right here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in for Todd Starnes. He's out and about letting the world know about his upcoming book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, coming out here soon. Find more information, toddstarnes.com. You can see it, all the great endorsements and the book tour that he's about ready to commence on, going literally from coast to coast, from Washington, D.C., all the way out to the Reagan Ranch in Santa Barbara, California. What a beautiful area, by the way. It is as well. We'll talk some more about that here in just a little bit. Hey, want to tell you about our friends over at Alliance Defending Freedom. As you know, this is sad times. We've talked a lot about higher education and the college battle that we have to go through right now. And so many students that while you would think that college is the place for you to be able to express your political views, express who you are, get to really find your identity, like not K through 12 and some of the shenanigans there, but actually like trying to find who you are. You're coming out of high school, you're out on your own for the first time and trying to learn about yourself and what you're going to do. And apparently college is not the place to do that anymore, especially if you're on the right side of the aisle. But I want to tell you about a good story here by a pro-life student at a Queens College in New York City named Norvilia, who won the right to have an on-campus club promoting known as the Culture of Life, something that she accomplished with the help of Alliance Defending Freedom, who helped her stand up for what she believes in, despite the pressure from college officials saying that she's not allowed to create these campuses, which is wild to me. You can have a Satanist club on college campus, but you can't have one that's pro-life because, well, that goes against community standards or something weird. But she talks about her successful campaign that she worked on with Alliance Defending Freedom.
Queens College has over 80 clubs, but when Navelia mentioned the one that she wanted to have, she wasn't approved. After reaching out and still getting no explanation for her denial, Navelia decided to take it to court.
The wonders of a lawsuit.
Despite the group now having a registered status, Navelia is still pursuing suit. Representing her is the Alliance Defending Freedom.
We want to allow the campus to become a free speech area, which is what it's supposed to be in the first place.
Good for her. And that's what we need to do. That's what every college student needs to be able to do. It takes courage to stand up to some of these officials at your local college, but it also takes first-class legal counsel. And students don't need to be forfeiting their free speech when they walk onto a college campus. It's not just about starting an actual club, but it's about government officials, paid for, by the way, by your taxpayer money, telling your college student that they cannot say something that may be important to them, like Norvilia. That's not freedom. So what? Why does this matter to you? With your help, we can help people like Norvilia and so many others fight for their views to be heard on campus, and you can stand with them with a gift to ADF. Keep standing for courageous students all over America by supporting Alliance Defending Freedom. Fight critical court battles for men and women just like you and for the courageous students that are out there. Go to toddstarnes.com. You'll see an ADF banner right at the top, Alliance Defending Freedom banner right at toddstarnes.com, or you can call and give a generous gift of any amount that you'd like at 855-417-6556. That's 855-417-6556. Do it for us, do it for the students, and do it for Alliance Defending Freedom. We appreciate partnering with them very, very much here, right here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Let's shift gears a little bit. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotlines. As we talk about this young generation, look, I'm a millennial. I'm 35. I remember my college days. They were a lot of fun, rabble-rousing as the college Republicans and the shenanigans that we did on college. And it's difficult from there and even younger into the K through 12. What are we doing for the next generation? And I think that needs to be the focal point for so many in the realm of politics in current events, is focusing on not just what we're doing for ourselves at this time right now, although there's some immediate issues we need to address, but also looking at the young generation and what we're going to do for them moving forward as well. Really happy to have on the program here with us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline, the author of the latest book, Dirt Roads to Runways, Defending the American Dream for the Next Generation. Happy to have on here Keith Gross. Keith, how are you, my friend?
I am doing great today. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, appreciate you joining the program. How important is it for us to focus on the youth of America, so to speak? Since COVID-19 pandemic, obviously, parents finally started to wake up and realize, oh, hey, what's going on in my public school system right now? What's going on in my higher education system right now? And it almost seemed like it was a day late and a dollar short with some of the progressive values that they've tried to implement here. But how important is it for us to make all of our decisions today thinking about the next generation moving forward?
You know, I think it's critically important. Reagan used to say we're only one generation away from losing freedom forever. I think we're also only one generation away from restoring freedom, and I'm pushing to do exactly that. You know, I think a lot of folks had their eyes open, like you said, during COVID, where the government took a lot of power under the guise of emergency authority. I think most of us were surprised just how awful things could get so fast. I think we were surprised at how evil a government could become and how much of our freedom they were willing to take away unconstitutionally. I know I was personally shocked to see that, you know, it was folks on both parties at every level of government who were participating in this lockdown, forced vaccinations, all sorts of invasions of our freedoms. I was surprised to see that, and it really alerted me to the fact that we've got to get people who are constitutional conservatives elected so that they can defend and protect our rights under the Constitution, because if we don't, we're not going to have any rights left.
Yeah, amen to that. You're also, by the way, a candidate for U.S. Senate in this great state of Florida, which you can find online at keithgross.com. We were talking about the vote tomorrow on this banning of TikTok potentially, and I was reminiscing about all of the data that's being collected and the young generations that may not understand freedom. In fact, my generation, the millennials, there was a study a couple of years ago that mentioned that my generation was totally okay with the government monitoring their entire email account for the freedom of a free pizza because they had nothing to hide. So therefore, they don't have to worry about it. Keith, have we lost the understanding of what privacy actually is, what freedom actually is? Because every generation, we seem to go further and further down this road where there is no more freedom, and the new generations think this is the norm. This is the way that freedom actually looks like.
That's right. We're seeing this sort of shifting paradigm window where the current generation grows up with less freedom than the last generation. And like you said, they see that as the new normal. If we don't start pushing back quickly, we're not going to have any rights left. You know, our founding fathers laid out our constitutional rights and expected us to stand up and defend those rights. And too often we elect people who are unwilling to do that, who give away one little piece at a time. I mean, we saw unconstitutional warrantless spying program under FISA extended under the National Defense Authorization Act recently. And, you know, the House and the Senate voted to pass that rather than demand that it have its own hearing. Even the courts, you know, they've started to change the definitions of what is and isn't a search. Our founding fathers never would have stood for this sort of expansion of government authority and loss of privacy and loss of freedoms for the citizens.
Not only that, but then the weaponization, essentially, of our government against our own people. I mean, we have Joe Biden's campaign out there saying that if you're a Republican, if you're a MAGA individual, if you're a conservative, then you're essentially a domestic terrorist and the most radical political organization in the history of the nation, where we have the FBI, we have the CIA, we have the ATF, we have the IRS, we have all these alphabet soup letters coming after us, the people, the private sector, and telling us what we can and cannot do, trying to silence us, trying to shadow ban us because, well, we're a political opposition and we have to be questioned for that. That's a major cause for concern, isn't it?
It is a major cause for concern. And it's one of the things I talk about a lot when I'm out on the trail. You know, we're doing a bus tour now for my U.S. Senate campaign here in Florida. And that's one of the things I talk about a lot. It's the importance of getting rid of this administrative deep state, because most of the rules and laws that affect us are not written by our elected representatives in Congress anymore. They're written by unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats. And these bureaucrats in the deep state, they have lost their mind. They are weaponized. You can see it today. There's a hearing going on right now in the U.S. House of Representatives where they're talking about the differences in the investigation into Joe Biden's possession of classified documents, which he was not legally entitled to have, but he's not being prosecuted, versus Donald Trump's possession of classified documents, which as commander-in-chief or even former commander-in-chief, he was entitled to possess, yet he's being prosecuted. We see it time and time again. We saw it with the January 6th setup. We see a weaponized Department of Justice being used against conservatives. And if we don't start electing officials to the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate who are willing to vote no on funding these agencies, if we keep voting for people that continue rubber stamping budgets and rubber stamping these continuing resolutions, this deep state has no incentive to change because our representatives, even our Republicans, keep giving them money. They need to shut off the funding if they won't honor our Constitution. It's that simple. Yeah.
Well, amen to that. That's music to my ears right there, being able to stop some of that. We're talking with Keith Garros. He's a candidate for U.S. Senate in the great state of Florida. Also author of the book Dirt Roads to Runways, Defending the American Dream for the Next Generation. Let's talk about funding certain organizations for just a moment. After the State of the Union, Joe Biden has proposed his $7.4 trillion budget proposal to Congress, where right now we're spending just over $6 trillion. We've passed six of our 12 appropriation bills, and we're, by the way, halfway through our fiscal year already. We're starting to work on 2025's budget proposal, which he wants more money by massively raising taxes in the sum of collecting more than $3 trillion in additional tax revenue to compensate for the additional spending. He's lied about the number of jobs he's created. He's lied about how great the economy's going when we see inflation rise another 3.2%. Right now, I don't know if there's going to be economy left for the next generation. Is there? Because we're spending into oblivion. And in fact, between our spending and our debt, we're sitting 125% above GDP, which I think is a kind of a cause for concern again.
Yes, being at this point with over 125% of GDP as our debt, that should be ringing alarm bells for every American. The inflation that we're seeing at the grocery store, in the housing market, in everything that we have to pay for, is a direct result of this overspending by our government. You know, the government dumped many, many trillions of excess dollars into our economy during the pandemic while supply was shut down and businesses were closed. You know, this is a government-induced disaster, and it goes to show that every time government gets involved in a problem, they are usually going to make it worse, not better. Government is the problem, not the solution. As far as our current spending and the Biden budget, it's ridiculous. I would be a no vote on this budget, 100% no, because we don't need this much federal government and we can't afford this much federal government. I can put it to you in very simple terms. If your government has enough money to send hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine, we're paying too much in taxes. We need to stop spending money on the rest of the world and start taking care of Americans again.
Is there a way we can get our budget back on track? And as we talk about the appropriations bills themselves, they're only now between 20 to 30% of our actual federal budget. The major beef of the federal budget are the mandatory spending, the social programs, the Medicare and Medicaid, the Social Security, the food stamp and SNAP programs. These are the programs that are bankrupting this nation. And yet we're not even allowed to talk about them. If we talk about even slowing the growth and say, hey, let's not grow at 6% this year, let's grow it by only 2%. Then we hear the media come out and say, we're doing a 4% cut and people are going to die in the streets this year. Like, that's the rhetoric that we have to deal against right now.
Yeah, we've got to push back against this manipulative mainstream media because, I mean, you pointed out the SNAP program. You know, this sort of welfare program has been expanded repeatedly to the point that it does not need to be. You know, if folks legitimately need food so they're not going to starve to death, that's one thing. But more often than not, we've got people who could work and aren't working, who are getting benefits paid for by hardworking taxpayers. And so the way we get this budget under control is by completely reassessing what we believe our federal government needs to do. You know, I consider myself a constitutional conservative, and what that means is I look at the Constitution for direction, and most of the time these government agencies are not listed in the Constitution. We've got agencies that shouldn't exist, dozens of them. I usually use the U.S. Department of Education as an example at the federal level. It's $300 billion a year on the budget. They don't employ a single teacher. Since they've gotten involved in education, the cost of education's gone up. The quality's gone down. Americans are stuck paying the bill. And 82% of schools are below grade level. We've got to start refining our government and bring it back to the core things that our government needs to do. It shouldn't be trying to solve every problem for every person. It needs to do defense, foreign trade, not a heck of a lot else.
Yeah, what a concept. Yeah, actually getting back to the basics and not turning to the government to solve our issues. Whenever we see a problem, we hear the other side say, government, do something, which they're not supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be fixing it. Keith Gross, he is a candidate for U.S. Senate in the state of Florida, also author of the book Dirt Roads to Runways. We got just about a minute left here, Keith, but talk about how the campaign's going down there in Florida. What's the word on the street? What are people most worked up about right now?
You know, the campaign's going great. We've been picking up momentum. We're doing a bus tour. We're on about a 50th county this week on our bus tour. There's 67 counties in Florida. We're working through all of them. And, you know, we've been meeting with people, having town hall events every night. Last night, we had a standing room only event in Flagler Beach. It was full of people. We take questions. And, you know, what I hear is, I'm so glad we have someone new to vote for. The person who's in my seat now, Rick Scott, the only reason they say they voted for him is because they didn't have an alternative. So I'm glad to be running in the Republican primary, and I'm glad to have the support of so many voters on the ground. Folks can follow to get more information. Like you said, KeithGross.com. And thank you again so much for having me on today.
Yeah, KeithGross.com. Go and check out the website. Keith, good luck on the campaign trail. We'd love to chat again soon.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to it.
You as well. There it is, Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline with the candidate for U.S. Senate from the great state of Florida. Got to take a break. Wrapping up hour number two right here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Stay right here. Welcome back into it. It is the Todd Starnes radio show. Andy Hoosier filling in today for a Tuesday, Super Tuesday 2.0. Thanks again to Keith coming on the program. Great stuff and a lot of great candidates. I love it. All over the nation, we're seeing so many great candidates pop up and try and change things. I think, and this is my theory, is that COVID-19, while as devastating as it was for the nation, for the globe, not just for the actual deaths, although I do question a lot of the death numbers that the CDC and the World Health Organization have come out with, I will say on the positive side, you know me, I'm the eternal optimist. We always try to find the bright side of things. And I've always said that the COVID-19 pandemic woke up a lot of people, the great awakening, so to speak, where we started to recognize and see what was really going on, how much power we've given away because we were so docile. We were so complacent, just go with the flow and just try to go to work every day, try and put food on the dinner table, try to have enough money to have a little fun, maybe go on vacation every once in a while. That's all we cared about. That's all we cared about. And then COVID hit and we weren't allowed to do those things. And then when we tried to do normal stuff, they even tried to tell us we couldn't do that as well. And the Great Awakening began. We saw kids have to wear masks for 8 hours a day in the classroom, which is absolutely ridiculous. We saw the mandate saying that in order for you to go back to work and actually live your life, you had to inject something into your body, which do if you want to, that's fine. But to be forced to do so, I think, is an entirely different conversation. We saw the government crack down on everybody. We saw the education system crack down on everybody, and we saw the spending skyrocket through the roof. And then we had the Biden administration roll in, the Gandalf riding on their great white horse, and say that we're going to spend all this money. And then when we stopped spending the money, then we saved the debt and that we actually brought people back to work and created 15 million jobs, I think is what he said, the latest number from the State of the Union address. So, yeah, that's what we got. We got sold a lot of goods, and I think people are upset about that. And then when we say, hey, maybe we should cut back on some of these programs now that COVID's over and we can get things back on track and we can actually start streamlining the process again, we can actually have a real federal budget that we haven't had since the Bush administration back in the early 2000s, they go absolutely nuts. They don't like any of that.
We're all going to die because of you.
So that's the battle that we're in now. And now we're at that tipping point where there's no more time to do the slow transition, the slow steering away from the cliff. We're no longer looking over the cliff financially. We're now the Wile E. Coyote that's already halfway down the cliff with his head and hand sticking up with the sign saying, help me, as we continue to fall. That's where we're at economically. And we have to be aware of that. Lots more coming up in hour number three of the Todd Starnes radio program. Plus, we'll take your phone calls and Will Scharf, personal attorney for Trump, coming up on the show and more right here on the Todd Starnes radio show. Stay here.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hey, how's it going? Welcome into it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Hour number three of the program. Andy Hoosier filling in for Todd Starnes as he is officially launching and kicking off his countrywide, nationwide tour of Twilight's Last Gleaming, his latest book, which you can find online at toddstarnes.com, with the official release coming soon in Washington, D.C. today. Headed out to Santa Barbara, California as well, to the Reagan Ranch to make a speech there in the next day or so, too. So he is all over the place. So awesome. So excited for him. You can find all the great information at toddstarnes.com. Until then, the Liberty University Studios moving to Wichita, Kansas, where I flagship out of KQAM, Wichita's Big Talker, out here. And so great to be on here for the Todd Starnes radio show again. Coming up in just a few minutes, we have Congressman Tom Tiffany. He is with the 7th Congressional District in the great state of Wisconsin. We're going to talk about the ongoing hearings that are happening today, I believe, or at least the last couple of days, on the Judiciary Committee with Biden's cognitive ability. I know. Are we picking on you too much, Joe Biden? I'm terribly sorry.
Stop it. Stop it now.
Making sure. We're checking in. We got to make sure he's doing all right, because apparently, according to the reports, they're not charging him for his lack of, well, you know, following the law, because he doesn't remember the details good enough. So he's good enough to be president, where Karine Jean-Pierre tells him that he doesn't need a cognitive test, that he proves himself every day by being president. They jack him up on enough steroids to do an hour-long angry rant and yelling the entire State of the Union address just last week. But he doesn't remember details, so therefore he can't be charged, because how can we punish a guy who doesn't remember all the details of his life when he was actually breaking the law? At some point, we're going to go and they're going to have to reiterate what Hillary Clinton said back in the day. At what point does it really matter, right? That's what we're at. I know. That's what they love to do, though. So we'll get some of that information from Congressman Tom Tiffany in just a little bit. Also, bottom of the hour, we're going to have on one of Trump's personal lawyers and candidate for the Attorney General's office in the great state of Missouri, Will Scharf. He'll be joining us to chat about the campaign trail, the latest decisions from the Supreme Court, the elections, immigration policy enforcement, and so much more. So a lot to get to this hour, and obviously the open lines to you at 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926 on Super Tuesday 2.0, with numerous states having their elections today. Which, speaking of elections, I have to ask you the very simple question. It's a tough question, but it's also a simple question. Do you feel comfortable and confident in the electoral process of 2024? Obviously, having what's going to be the presumptive rematch of Joe Biden and Donald Trump, like 2020, and the shenanigans, believe it or not believe it, however you view that issue, but the shenanigans that may or may not have happened, allegedly. Did I cover myself enough in that, all those statements? Did I cover myself enough to not get in trouble there? Okay. But with all of that, do you feel safe and secure in the electoral process this year in 2024? As you know, the state of Georgia ended up doing a lot of reforms in their electoral process after 2020, and a lot of it actually being mimicking a lot of the laws that we do here in the state of Kansas, where I'm from our former Secretary of State, Chris Kobach, our current Secretary of State, as well, Scott Schwab, and Georgia doing some reformations on that front. Other states working on things, too. However, just in the last day or so, Merrick Garland, the, you know, Attorney General for the United States, has made a statement saying that he's combating some of the new laws that states are making on the elections because, well, he wants it to be an open, free, and fair election process.
We are challenging efforts by states and jurisdictions to implement discriminatory, burdensome, and unnecessary restrictions on access to the ballot, including those related to mail-in voting, the use of drop boxes, and voter ID requirements.
Well, okay, so just to put that one into perspective for you, they're challenging the states that are trying to tighten things up by getting rid of drop boxes, by actually having voter ID laws, because you're not allowed to do that, apparently. You can't do that. That's against the law. How dare you actually verify who you are to go and vote, along with other policies that states are trying to implement. They're challenging those. Let me reiterate that. The head attorney, the legal scholar expert in the nation, is challenging the ability of states to actually tighten up their election laws to make sure things are going to run smoothly. Now, according to the Constitution, all it says is that you have to be a U.S. citizen. That's essentially all it says. And they don't like that. In fact, there's now a federal code that people have found that's quite concerning, that says that there's an out of that saying that you're allowed to vote even if you're an illegal alien, as long as you think that you're a citizen at the time that you vote. Yeah, there's a federal code, and we've chatted with some guests on this program and others as well before about the potential of illegal aliens voting under a certain federal code that says even though they're not a U.S. citizen, which is what the Constitution tells us, that you can vote as long as you think that you're a citizen at the time. Now, put that in perspective with the 10 million illegal aliens that have come across the border since the Biden administration took office, and them refusing to call them illegal aliens, but undocumented dreamers. And if they're undocumented dreamers, then we don't know what their legal status actually is. I mean, we do, but they want to confuse it. So if the people themselves that are coming in and not being told to go home and not being told that they're illegals, they don't know what they are. They they know, but the legal jargon says we don't really know. So if you vote and just try to say that you are a legal citizen, and that way you can go and vote, and then, oh, sorry, we didn't know. We thought we were, and therefore your vote's going to get counted in the 2024 election. Is that a new open that they're going to try and use in this electoral process? Laura Trump, the new co-chair of the RNC, said that election validity is going to be one of the top priorities for the new RNC.
That is a huge problem. We have three pillars that we need to focus on at the RNC to ensure victory on November 5th. Turn out the vote, protect the vote, and raise money. But I would argue that maybe the most important of those three is protecting the vote, election integrity. We have to ensure that when people go vote, they feel like their vote counts, that they are inspired to go vote. We can never allow what happened in 2020 and the questions surrounding that election to ever happen again. So I'll tell you right now what is already underway at the RNC. We have, for the first time ever, an election integrity division. This means vast resources dedicated solely to this cause. We are going to have, and we've already started working on, a nationwide network of volunteers, whether it's poll watchers, trained poll workers. These are people who can physically go in, count ballots that are coming in, know how many are coming in, how many are going out, volunteer and paid attorneys. If you are an attorney who wants to volunteer, we want you.
All right, that audio from Fox News. Can you imagine a time in this nation when we have our own federal government not only militarizing against ourselves like we've talked about throughout the program with, you know, the CIA, the FBI, the IRS, the ATF, the Environmental Protection Agency, all these other alphabet soup agencies and bureaucracies that are coming after us in the private sector, controlling us, telling us how to live our lives. But then we also have our very own federal government that refuses to enforce an immigration policy and then turns around and not only doesn't enforce it, but then sues a state for trying to do it on their own because, well, that's not your jurisdiction. That's our jurisdiction with foreign policy and immigration. Cool, then do it. Well, no. We're doing it as long as you pass a bill that gives us the ability to do it, even though we already have immigration laws on the books, which is why they're illegal aliens. And that's why Joe Biden said an illegal alien during the State of the Union, reiterated it the next day and said, well, they're technically not supposed to be here. Then after being guided by his coaches, then they asked him again, do you really regret saying illegal immigrant? And then he said, no, I meant undocumented immigrant. I meant undocumented dreamer or migrant or whatever terms they like to use today. They had to coach him three different times in order for that one to come out the way they needed to for their agenda. But now we have a government that openly attacks our state, like Texas, when they try to enforce the law. And now we have Merrick Garland, the head of the legal system, attacking states for trying to pass their own election laws to verify the fact that they are who they say that they are, because we don't want those electoral votes to be counted properly through the system. This is the federal government that we're up against. We'll talk about some of that with our guest coming up right around the corner, Congressman Tom Tiffany from the 7th District of Wisconsin. We'll do that right around the corner. We'll take an early break here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Stay here. It is the Todd Starnes radio program on a Super Tuesday 2.0. Many states been heading back out there. And could Donald Trump lock in that official nomination? Well, not until, obviously, the RNC convention. But could he get enough delegates by the end of the day today to lock it in by default moving forward as we get squared off for the 2024 elections? Going to be an interesting one. Buckle up, hold up, and let's have a little fun this year. What do you say for 2024? It's saying to 2023, hey, hold my iced tea. As we get ready for the shenanigans we're about to see. Let's go right back to the phones, though, and go back to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline as we talk about what's going on in Washington, D.C. I'm reading the headlines from Hat Tip to Fox News that's keeping a special report on this one. Hilarious to watch the Democrats lose their mind over the fact that Joe Biden may have, I don't know, done something wrong and mishandled classified documents. Oh, mon Dieu. Talk about some of that and more. Let's go to that Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline from the 7th Congressional District in the great state of Wisconsin. Happy to have on the Todd Starnes radio program with us today, Congressman Tom Tiffany. Congressman, how are you, my friend?
Hey, Andy. It's great to join you today.
Yeah. Excited to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us. And what a day it is watching some of these hearings and hearing about what's going on right now. I never imagined, Congressman, that we could have a president that is so old that can't remember any details about his life and is losing his cognitive ability to where we can't, you know, go after him for illegal things that he's done, but totally fit to run the nation as the head of the executive branch. That sounds kind of strange to me, doesn't it?
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, and I wish I would have had just a little bit more time, because my final question would have been, Mr. Herr, do you believe that President Biden should have the nuclear football? Because that's ultimately, to me, the question as we head towards November here of 2024 is this president capable? Clearly, Robert Herr is saying no, because he does not have the cognitive ability, including to stand trial.
Yeah, if he's not able to stand trial, then why in the world are we able to allow him to stay as president? And then we hear the statements from, of course, Karine Jean-Pierre, with the statements from the White House saying that, well, we don't need to do a cognitive test at all because he proves himself every day just being in the office himself. But I don't know if that necessarily works. I seem to remember a 3-hour-long conversation with the White House doctor when Trump was in office to make sure that he wasn't losing his mind sending out tweets at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Well, I got to tell you, the Democrats, including the ones on the Judiciary Committee today, like Raskin and Swalwell and Schiff and others, they must be bodybuilders to lift the weight of trying to defend Joe Biden, because it's a heavy lift, Andy, every single day to defend Joe Biden, and they know it.
Yeah. I can only imagine. Well done on that. Are they starting to get a little exhausted by doing the defending? I mean, prime example was during the State of the Union, we saw Joe Biden mention the word illegal alien. Then the day after as well, they're like, do you regret saying illegal alien? He said, well, yeah, they're here illegally. They're not supposed to be here. Then the third attempt was, well, I regret that I should have said actually that they were undocumented dreamers or whatever he's supposed to say after being coached multiple times. I don't know that he's capable of actually having a normal conversation. So I don't know how much longer that the Democrats and the mainstream media can continue to back him up and just blow it off.
So, Andy, just think about the vernacular that Democrats force us to play, whether it's, you know, whether it's in regards to transgender people, whatever the case may be, including the example you just listed. Don't you think that they probably have a daily dictionary that they got to look through every day to make sure that they're not violating some unwritten code of, hey, we can't use this word today? I call it the daily dictionary of the Democrats.
Yeah. Well, there's that. And then, of course, we all have to have our Joe Biden decoder ring to understand what he's saying half the time anyways as well. We're talking with Congressman Tom Tiffany from the 7th Congressional District in the great state of Wisconsin. After these hearings that you just got out of, where could this potentially go? Are we going to see the pursuant of these investigations, or is it going to drop off, do you think?
You know, I think behind this, and I alluded to it in my questioning, is this is all about the Biden family and how they enrich themselves. The oversight committee that Chairman Comer is doing, that will continue apace. And I think Special Counsel Herr alluded to it today when he was questioned about it, that he was very aware of what was going on there. And to me, that's really the big deal, because that's when they were selling out foreign policy. Because, you know, Andy, you know, it's one thing to enrich yourself with something like this. And by the way, he was doing it with this book deal. I didn't realize going into the hearing, he got an $8 million advance. And so there's no wonder that Joe Biden wanted to have that those classified documents. It was to help him get an $8 million advance. And I don't say that about everybody that gets a book deal. But when you look at Joe Biden, there's not enough money for him. Those guys wanted to enrich their family as much as possible. And I think that's the story that will continue in the Oversight Committee. And as we get more information in regards to, you know, the 20 phone calls that Joe Biden made to his son that he said did not happen. We found out that it did happen. 20 shell companies, $20 million that are going through those 20 shell companies. I mean, those are all things that are out there. And I think that story will continue, because there is more and more to it each day that we continue to investigate.
Yeah, more things are starting to come out. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because not only are we just holding classified information the way we're not supposed to, but we're also now, as you mentioned, seeing the phone conversations. We're seeing the text messages. We're seeing the fake names on emails. So it seems more and more evident and obvious that Joe Biden was part of so many of the business dealings from his son, whether they were legal or non-legal. And the fact that he was partaking in this, we can't turn our back on this. We can't get it to the point where we have Hillary Clinton up in front of the conference saying, at what point does this really matter? Just blow it off and just ignore it and move on, because it's so old. How dare you keep bringing up old news? We can't let it get to that point.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, what you're describing there, Andy, is it's a pattern of conduct, right? We've seen what Joe Biden will do and what he has done in league with his family to enrich themselves. But the greatest concern is, are they selling out America? And, you know, the Chinese, the communist Chinese, look for every opportunity to gain advantage. And it sure appears that they picked the right family to go after, because, I mean, Hunter admitted in the closed door hearing that that he was so drug-addled at times that he didn't know what he was doing. I mean, don't you think that's a great target? And then when you've got these people that want to take in money, whether it's from Burisma, the oil company in Ukraine, or from China, millions of dollars from them. I mean, they sought money in any way that they could get it, and they thought they were entitled to it. And that's one of the things I saw in the Herr report that we're discussing today, is Joe Biden just, he thinks he's this unique political character of the early 21st century here in America, and that he kind of stands astride the world, first as vice president and now as president. He has this view of himself that you would think he was George Washington or Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, he thinks he's an untouchable and invincible, and I think it's going to come crashing down. The house of cards is going to come down around him. Congressman Tom Tiffany from the 7th District of Wisconsin, keep up this fight, my friend. Don't let this get wiped under the rug. We appreciate everything you're doing. We'd love to chat with you again real soon, my friend.
We will keep on keeping on. Thank you, Andy.
Absolutely. Right back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Stay here. Welcome back to it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier filled in for Todd Starnes again today, as he is out and officially launching and announcing his book, Twilight's Last Gleaming. I cannot wait to read this book. It's coming out here in the next week. You can get more information on it at toddstarnes.com. It's been endorsed by so many people, so many great comments from so many wonderful individuals, from elected officials to great leaders with the Faith and Freedom Coalition and more. It is, I can't wait. The book tour is starting here very soon. He's in D.C. today, literally going coast to coast from D.C. all the way to Santa Barbara, California, in the next day or two to speak at the Reagan Ranch as well and announce his book. I'm hailing from Wichita, Kansas, and he's coming out for part of his book tour out here as well in the next month. We'll have more information on that and going to a location near you as well. Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? Todd Starnes' latest book. You can find all the information at Todd Starnes, MyPillow.com. I want to tell you about our friends over here at MyPillow. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. You know that. You've known that for a while. After he invented the world's best pillow, he's created the famous Giza Dream Sheets as well, which they're the best sheets that you'll ever sleep on. And now, for a limited time, you'll get a queen-size set for $59.98. Dude, that's what I'm talking about right there. King size as well, just $69.98, the lowest prices in history. Mike and the MyPillow team continue to be canceled by big box stores all over and attacked by the media constantly. They appreciate all of your great support during these times and want to thank you by giving you free shipping on your entire order today as well. To get these specials, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. You get the famous Giza Dream Sheets, the queen size for $59.98 and the king size for $69.98. You'll also get 60% off the original My Slippers. I love those. I have those. Have a pair of those myself. Call 800-839-8506 or go online to MyPillow.com. Use promo code STARNS and get that free shipping today and the amazing sale with the king and queen size sheet for your bed. It's an amazing stuff. We always appreciate partnering with MyPillow. Let's go back to it with the new Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline as we continue to talk with some candidates and we talk about the latest of what's going on, the shenanigans, or as Joe Biden says, the malarkey in Washington, D.C., as he is a personal attorney for Donald Trump, also a candidate for attorney general in the great state of Missouri. Happy to have on the program here with Todd Starnes, Will Scharf. Will, how are you, my friend?
Doing great. Great to be with you today. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, so great to have you on the program. What a time we live in. I know you've been working really hard out in Missouri. I've talked to you on my program as well. But after this decision that we saw the last couple of weeks, we had Super Tuesday last week or a couple weeks ago. We have Super Tuesday 2.0 today. The media losing their minds, Democrats losing their minds after the decision from the Supreme Court that Donald Trump can actually stay on the ballot. As a legal expert yourself, that was kind of an open and closed case, but I'm curious on why such outrage with people thinking they could get away with these ridiculous lawsuits just to find a way to keep Donald Trump off the ballot.
Yeah, that ballot access case really was something else. Cases, really, because we were dealing with many, many of these challenges to President Trump's ability to be on the ballot all over the country. When the Supreme Court comes down on a politically charged case by a vote of 9-0, you know that something's gone kind of wrong with the system, that these cases probably shouldn't have been brought in the first place. But I think the left had been fed this narrative by the mainstream media for so long that, of course, President Trump is an insurrectionist, and of course he should be kept off the ballot for that reason, that they'd started to believe it. Whereas the actual law was pretty clear, the Supreme Court could have rejected Colorado's decision for, maybe 6 or 7 independent reasons. We were very heartened that the court did what was right, that the court upheld the law, and we're excited that at the end of the day, the American people are going to get to choose their next president free from this sort of political interference with ballot access. I think it was a great day for American democracy and obviously a great day for our team.
Yeah, it wasn't just a win. I think it was a dominant blowout with a 9-0 decision. If we would have saw one or two of the progressives on the Supreme Court actually come out against it, then, of course, they could have played the politics and how, it was just conservative right wing nuts that have taken over the Supreme Court and they would have completely ignored it and they would have just stomped on the issue even further. But a 9-0 decision, which they didn't even say he wasn't allowed to. They just said that Congress had to vote on something like that, is kind of a slap in the face for them when they were so desperate to hold on to this case, weren't they?
Yeah, it was funny. I was at the Supreme Court on the day of argument, hearing my colleague Jonathan Mitchell argue the case for us. The funny thing was that two of the most aggressive questioners against the other side, two of the people who really held counsel for Crewe, the left-wing group that was sort of behind a lot of this, really held his feet to the fire, were Elena Kagan and Ketanji Brown Jackson, who were obviously not members of the conservative wing of the court. And they were really just focused on the law and how clear the law was here. It was good that this was 9-0. I think it was important for the Republic. We obviously have other cases that are likely going to be before the court, at least one more argument scheduled for next month already. And we're hoping again that the Supreme Court just looks at the law dispassionately and clearly in all of these cases, because if they do so, we're going to keep on winning.
Yeah, absolutely. Will, what's the next step with all the other legal battles that former President Donald Trump's having to deal with right now? I know that he's got case after case. He's not allowed to do business in New York City, and they're not allowing him to talk about certain individuals, and he's got to toe the line here and there. What's the next step for him? And for those that may be holding out saying that Donald Trump is going to be thrown in jail, that Donald Trump's going to be removed from the ballot, or whatever case that they're hoping for, whether it's a Democrat or some of these never-Trumpers on the Republican side, what's the next step for him, and how do you see these playing out before or going into election season?
Yeah, so we currently have two civil cases going up on appeal. One is the Carroll defamation case. The other is the New York civil case that you alluded to, where they're trying to fine President Trump hundreds of millions of dollars for supposed business fraud where no fraud existed. I mean, the parties that he supposedly defrauded all testified on his behalf. So those are the two civil cases. On the criminal side, we actually have a number of motions to dismiss in the Florida documents case. There's a hearing on that tomorrow. That's a very important case. We don't think that will likely go to trial before the election. But more importantly, I think President Trump has important rights that we're attempting to vindicate in court down there. In New York, we have the New York DA criminal case. That's the case brought over supposed business records issues relating to known perjurer Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels. That case actually goes to trial at the end of this month. So we'll be up in New York for that. We feel good about it. I think that of all the criminal cases, you know, legal commentators from across the political spectrum have said that it's just far and away the weakest. And then on top of that, next month we'll be going to the Supreme Court on our presidential immunity argument. We moved to dismiss the D.C. prosecution against President Trump, which relates to his efforts to investigate election fraud in the aftermath of the 2020 election, on the grounds that he had immunity as a former president for official acts that he committed while he was in office. So we'll be at the Supreme Court on April 25th on that issue. And then in the background, obviously, we have this Georgia case, which has turned into an absolute farce. We've moved to dismiss. We've moved to disqualify the prosecutors there. We're expecting a judgment there or a ruling there on the disqualification issue pretty shortly. All in all, I mean, just the sheer scope of litigation that we're dealing with is pretty vast. And when President Trump talks about this being an election interference conspiracy, that's really what he's talking about. I believe this is an effort. All of these cases are just an effort to interfere with his ability to run for president, with his right to run for president, and also the right of all of us to hear his message, to amplify his message, and ultimately to support him as a presidential candidate. So these are some weighty issues, but so far so good. We feel like we're making a lot of ground. We're winning a lot, and we need to keep on winning.
Yeah, you guys have to continue to fight those battles, which is extremely difficult because there's a lot of moving parts to it, like you just mentioned, and they're just doing everything they can to muddy the water and make it as complicated for you guys, drain as much funds as you possibly can in order to try and exhaust you and the former president as well. We're talking with Will Scharf, personal attorney for Donald Trump, also candidate for attorney general in the state of Missouri. Let's shift gears a little bit to politics and the election, where we were just mentioning it before you came on here. I never thought that we would get to a point in this nation when we had the federal government fighting our own states on what laws that they can do, referring to immigration, going after the state of Texas for trying to actually, you know, seal the border down there because they won't do their duty as the federal government, which is their prerogative to deal with foreign policy and with immigration. Then we get Merrick Garland, the attorney general in Washington, D.C., saying that he's going to start going after states that are trying to lock down electoral laws in their state. Listen to this.
We are challenging efforts by states and jurisdictions to implement discriminatory, burdensome, and unnecessary restrictions on access to the ballot, including those related to mail-in voting, the use of drop boxes, and voter ID requirements.
I mean, come on. Well, I know you're running for attorney general there in Missouri, and the attorney general's office, I think, is still one of the most important seats that a state can have to battle some of this. But I never thought that we would have the Attorney General in D.C. go after states because, well, they want to make sure that we verify someone's a U.S. citizen and that you are who you are when you go out and cast a vote. It sounds like they're trying to pull some shenanigans for the election time.
Yeah, I firmly believe that the left today, the modern left in America, is dedicated to undermining our system of fair elections. When you look at what happened in 2020 with millions and millions of completely unverifiable absentee ballots flooding the system, when you look at the Zuckerbucks issue, and now when you look at what Merrick Garland is saying publicly about their intent to interfere with states who are seeking to secure their election system to make sure that the count we end up with is a fair count. I mean, there's no way to look at this other, I believe, than that the left is committed to ensuring that our elections remain insecure. And then you have to question why. I mean, why are they so committed to the idea that people should be able to vote without showing a voter ID, that non-citizens should be able to vote in municipal and local elections? Why are they pushing all of these radical policies? And I think the answer is that they view that as a path to winning. And the fact that they care so much about winning that they are willing to undermine the fundamentals of our democracy, a fair electoral system, I think tells you all you need to know about the modern left and how morally and philosophically bankrupt they are.
Well, yeah, I think that's their only path to victory is trying to find this new voter base because all the other voter bases that they've had are leaving them in the droves right now because of such horrible policy and the concern there. Are you worried about the push now that we have 10 million illegal migrants that have come into the country under the past 3 years under the Biden administration? Are you concerned that now it's the push to try and get them on the active voter rolls across the country as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the left views this as their path to a potential future electoral majority, that they're basically importing new voters. Because as you said, America's current voters are rejecting the left at every opportunity, and the polls show that we are going to romp to a victory in 2024. I mean, in the last 3 years since Biden came into office, the estimates vary, but we're looking at, you know, 9 million, 10 million, 12 million illegal entries. These are completely unprecedented numbers. And President Biden has all the authority today that he needs if he actually wanted to secure the border. So to me, the fact that he hasn't done that indicates that he doesn't want a secure border. He wants to use this crisis as an aspect of his political campaign for president. And I fear that if we don't secure our election system, if we don't insist on a fair electoral count this fall, we're going to have serious issues in our urban areas with illegals voting, with again, as we saw in 2020, unverifiable absentee ballots flooding the system, counting methods that don't protect Americans' rights to have their votes counted fairly. I think we have a lot of trouble on the horizon, and I hope that conservatives are cued in enough to these issues to object when we see these blatantly illegal practices going on.
Yeah, what a mess it is. Will Scharf, candidate for attorney general in the state of Missouri, also a personal attorney for former President Donald Trump. We got about 30 seconds left here, Will, but talk about your campaign. How are things going in Missouri, and are you hearing the concerns from voters on the streets when you're talking to them as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, conservatives in Missouri are fired up right now. They see this election as a crucial election for the future, not just of our state, but for the entire country. I've never seen energy in the conservative grassroots like we're seeing today. And it's just, it's heartening getting around the state, seeing people who may not have been involved in politics before getting involved because they know what's at stake for the future of our country. And, you know, we're excited about our race, but more than that, I think it's just so important now that we elect good conservatives up and down the ballot. I'll be door knocking for school board candidates this weekend. And we've just got to keep fighting on all fronts.
Got to keep fighting from the grassroots, like you said, from the local elections all the way up to the national stuff. We have to turn out big time and make it a bigly election, if you know what I mean.
And I think we're going to make it bigly.
And check them out online, votesharf.com. That's vote, S-C-H-A-R-F.com. Will, good luck on the campaign trail, my friend. Keep up the fight on all fronts. We got to get you back on and chat again soon.
Yeah, anytime. Really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Hey, you as well, my friend. Back after this, one more segment right around the corner on the Todd Starnes radio program. back in the nice bump music. I like it. Welcome back into it. The Todd Starnes radio program. One segment left here. Andy Hoosier filling in. Such a great honor to do so, Todd. Always love being able to sit in and fill in for you. Moving the Liberty University studios out here for a day. Anytime you need it, brothers, you continue on with your book tour, which is going to be awesome. I'm telling you, man, it's going to be big.
And I think we're going to make it bigly.
Which I know he's excited about being in D.C. today and in California here in the next day or so as well. Speaking at the Reagan Ranch. With that, those great organizations, and of course, talking about the book as well. Hey, want to tell you as well about our friends over at Alliance Defending Freedom, because they've been helping college students all over the nation trying to fight for their rights to, I don't know, stand up for what they believe in on college campus when it may not be the most popular thing to do. And I understand that being a former college student myself, although I did drop out after 2 years because like, yeah, this is not, that's my thing. That's that's why I'm in radio now. But nonetheless, students being able to fight for their values, conservative Christian values, is vital on college campus. And you should have the right to do so just because you're not a left-wing ideologue on college campus. That's why there's the Christian nonprofit organization Alliance Defending Freedom, or they talk about one of their latest students at Norvilia, where she's working at the Queens College in New York City, wanting to create a campus club to promote a culture of life, you know, being pro-life. What a wild shocker that one is. And she talks about her success that she's had with working with the Alliance Defending Freedom organization.
Queens College has over 80 clubs, but when Navelia mentioned the one that she wanted to have, she wasn't approved. After reaching out and still getting no explanation for her denial, Navelia decided to take it to court.
The wonders of a lawsuit.
Despite the group now having a registered status, Navelia is still pursuing suit. Representing her is the Alliance Defending Freedom.
We want to allow the campus to become a free speech area, which is what it's supposed to be in the first place.
It's sad that we even have to worry about that. But thank God for organizations like Alliance Defending Freedom. You can stand with them. You can stand with Norvilia. You can stand with all these other great students that are fighting for this on college campuses around the nation. Here's what you go and do. Go to toddstarnes.com. At the top, you'll see the ADF banner on the top of the website at toddstarnes.com. And you can click that for more information. Or you can give any gift by calling in at 855-417-6556. Again, 855-417-6556. And fight for students' rights to be heard with Alliance Defending Freedom. That does it for us today. Such an honor, Todd. Always great to be able to fill in for you, my friend. Keep up the great fight, and good luck with your Twilight's Last Gleaming book tour as it finally kicks off. Until then, everybody have a great day. I'm Andy Hoosier. We'll see you on the radio on the Todd Starnes radio program.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.